translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. After entering the house of his father, he was embraced by the mother's present, and the Lord offered his obeisances unto them by placing his head at their feet. The mothers were headed by Devaki, his real mother. Purport. It appears that Vasudeva, the father of Lord Krishna, had completely separate residential quarters where he lived with his 18 wives, out of whom Srimati Devaki is the real mother of Lord Krishna. But in spite of this, all other stepmothers were equally affectionate to him, as will be evident from the following verse. Lord Krishna also did not distinguish his real mother from his stepmothers, and he equally offered his obeisances unto all the wives of Vasudev present on the occasion. According to scriptures also, there are seven mothers. 1. The real mother. 2. The wife of the spiritual master. 3. The wife of a brahmana. 4. The wife of a king. 5. The cow. 6. The nurse. And 7. The earth. All of them are mothers. Even by this injunction of the Shastras, the stepmother, who is the wife of the father, is also as good as the mother, because the father is also one of the spiritual masters. Lord Krishna, the Lord of the universe, plays the part of an ideal son just to teach others how to treat their stepmothers. Oma gyanati mirandasya gyananjaya salakya chakshur militam yena tashmai sri gurave namaha vanchakal patrubis chakri pasindubhya eva chapati tanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadal Sri Vasudhi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Well, I'm really, really sincerely seeking the blessing of the Vaishnavas present here today. It's my first time offering a service of discussing a Srimad Bhagavatam class. I'm seeking particularly the blessing of two of my senior good brothers and teachers, Navadvip Chandra and Paramakaruna Prabhus. They have excellent personal qualities, amazing knowledge, and nothing in common to Sunday Amarga, apart when you're missing your deadlines. I'm a novice, I'm a student of the Bhagavatam, and so I'm just trying to offer some dutiful service, hopefully helping some other proper devotees to be able to go out on Sankirtan today. And so please forgive me my presumption today. And if I look at my motivation, really there could be reason for me to be concerned. I would like to focus the discussion today onto the topic of respect. And we have this word, which is maryad, which means respect, means honor. Actually, I found in the our handbook of etiquette, Vaishnava etiquette, the original meaning apparently is the dividing line between to a land, like a border. Quite suggestive of good boundaries, in a way. And from boundaries comes respect, which is very, you know, very logic, in a way. The other word that sort of, you know, we can present here today is vyatikrama, that means offense. And we all know about the offense of maryad vyatikrama, which is what I'm committing today by sitting here on the Vyasasan. It's the offense of not recognizing that others, way more qualified than us, could be sitting here in my place. So the way I would like to start discussing respect is by looking at respect as a culture. This verse is all about mothers. And it's really my luck that my mother doesn't speak English. She doesn't know I'm here. She probably doesn't know I'm a devotee either, because she would recognize the difference, the enormous distance between the way I should have been with her, I should have been, and I never did. And I still don't, I'm afraid. But be reassured, I'm paying the karmic consequences for my bad behavior. And you reap what you've sown, and if you've met my children, you would see why. This is it's one of the gifts of our society. And it's just not good. But it's not good for them, primarily. It's not that we seek respect of parents. Some of you will be parents here. And it's nice to receive respect, but that's not the point. This point is for them. Because respect actually breeds all good quality. And lack of respect, the opposite. No respect, and you have no gratitude, no affection, uncaring attitude. And there's no flow. There's no flow of love. There's no flow of knowledge. Children who are disrespectful, they're not interested in what their parents have to say. In my case, whatever little I know about Krishna consciousness. But, you know, every family, you know, there should be some. That's the way it is. We're passing knowledge down to our children. The grandparents, they should be seen as the older of wisdom in the family. It's no longer the case, obviously, in Western society. And instead, here, we have the clearest example of how we should respect a mother. That Krishna is doing it in such a wonderful way. He's bowing himself, his head, his forehead, he's touching the feet of all his mothers. I was in Faridabad a few weeks ago, on the way back from the parikrama in Vrindavan. I was a guest in the house of a dear god brother of mine. He's a brahmana, actually, a brahmana here at the manor. And when I walked in, his son came towards me and he touched my feet. I was absolutely gobsmacked. So it was a culture shock for me. You know, I never expect anything like that, certainly not in this country. Such respect, totally naturally, in a natural way, was obviously brought up with that mentality. It was wonderful to see. It was so warming to receive that. I couldn't do anything else but congratulate him for the way they brought up their kid. If he would be visiting my house, he could wait a long time to receive that type of respect for my children, or not at all. So we have an obvious East and West difference. But I'm told, even in India, where this culture is or should be predominant, there might be, you know, we might be departing from that form. And maybe it's not, the greetings are not so formal, although there is still respect. I can see that. But maybe not to that form, maybe just a greeting like a namaste or a gesture. But there still is respect, and that's culture. And Krishna here is showing us the whole package of this culture. The whole chapter 11 of this canto is actually about the culture, Vedic cultures. And I would like to take you through this a little bit, so just that we can fix on a few very interesting points. We have seen that he actually honors the 18 wives of his father. And Prabhupada has explained that the father can be considered the guru. And so we owe the same respect to the wives. And we also learned that we have seven mothers, so the scriptures say. So just for the sake of memory, I would like to ask you to please repeat with me who these seven mothers are. Could you please join in with me? So first mother is our real mother. Second, the wife of the spiritual master. Thank you. The third, wife of the brahmana. Excellent. And the fourth, the wife of the king. Excellent. The five, the cow. Brilliant. Six, nurse, thank you. And seven, the earth. I haven't really researched as to why we need to respect all these personalities. What seems obvious to me is that they all care for us. They all nourish us generously and in a loving way. And yeah, why not to show some gratitude? And respect is the evident form of that, of those feelings. It's just making them obvious. But this verse is amazingly actual in a way. Think for a second of the environment. But think of the cows, you know, the way our society is treating cows. But the environment is also a very actual topic, which has seen all these protests in London. And I must say, actually, personally, I don't think that respect from the environment should start from disrupting traffic or gluing yourself to doors, blocking trains. Although, I don't know, there might be a place for these type of things if we need to change society, but I believe more in Harinam as a powerful tool to actually change consciousness. And I would like to quote here the example of my dear God brother, Paramakaruna. I saw him once. He had to write down some numbers, some results of some test. And it took so much time to look for a piece of scrap paper. He wouldn't use a blank paper. His attention was amazing. That example, you know, is still present here for me. I'm trying to. I made some purpose of some resolution. I'm trying to save plastic. It's extremely difficult. I had to buy the other day some cleaning products, you know, but everything comes in plastic. Drinks, even fruit, is packaged in plastic. It's really hard to avoid that. My quest is still active. Is a work in progress. So we have this, as I said, chapter 11 really presents us with an exemplary model of culture and society, and the divide is amazing. As I said, I would like to take you through a few details. First of all, we see at the beginning of the chapter the Lord being welcomed at the gates of Dwarka. All the citizens arrive with gifts, and it said, the Bhagavatam says, although that is like offering a lamp to the sun. You know, so little can be compared. The light of a lamp is compared to the light of a sun. But equally, the gesture, because it's offered from the heart, is so heartwarming, is so respectful, is so nice. And then we have descriptions of landscape, completely in the mode of goodness, conducive toward cultivating transcendence. And I'm talking about landscape because the earth is our mother. So that's how we should look at our landscape. That's where we should treat our earth, our mother earth. And we can see all the difference when we walk in the street of London or Delhi or any other big city in the world. Instead, Dwarka was filled with opulence of nature. And yes, there were also some buildings, hermitages, reservoirs of water. But nature is providing the decoration, not the mega screens that we have in Piccadilly. And the gateway were furnished, it says, with festive signs, which were actually leaves and flags and garlands and painted sign. All very simple, very, very natural. There were roads, highways, subways, lanes, market, public meeting places. So I'm reading textually from the Bhagavatam here. Just by moistening them with scented water and throwing cleaned, and they were so welcoming. And you know, and also to welcome the Lord, they were spreading fruit, flowers, and seeds. Let me be a little fastidious also about the personalities who are going to welcome Krishna. It is relevant to the point of discussing respect. Some of them are named. We have this great personality, Vasudeva, Akrura, Ugrasena, Balaram, Pradyumna. Other are not named in person, but are named as a group. We have people of all professions. Dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, respectable ladies, and prostitutes. And why is it relevant to the topic of respect? Because Lord Krishna, verse 21, offer due honor and respect to each and every one of the friends, relatives, citizens, and all the others who came to receive and welcome him. So, he includes everybody. All the categories I mentioned above. They're all respectable. Yes, we have the respectable ladies, but all categories are respected. And he greets everyone. Listen in which way. The Almighty Lord greeted everyone present by bowing his head, exchanging greetings, embracing, shaking hands, looking and smiling, giving assurances and awarding benediction, even to the lowest rank. So this is, if he does it, you know, that's the example we should need to follow. And that really includes everyone. And here, this is where I would like to come to some concept for, you know, try to draw some points, some principles for our application in our devotional life. And some of them that summarized from what we've described so far. Some of them, I can offer a few verses in support. But let's start from saying one point that we can derive here is that when there is respect, then we stop committing offenses, aparad. This is one of the obvious consequences. All devotees, we are all interested in stopping committing of aparad. Yes, it's one of our fixed goals, is there. So that's the way we should do it. Just offer respect to everyone. Easy. Why? Because respect is connected to love. Is also connected to humility. So if you have no respect, you have no humility, you have no love, equal offenses, aparad. The opposite, we develop humility, we develop respect, we learn how to love, and our chanting becomes purified. Trinadapi suniche na tarorivā saishnu na amanina manadena kirtanya sadaharir. Expect personal, we do not expect any personal honor, and yet we're always prepared to give respect to others. That's the fundamental idea. And a tricky one. So remember this, remember what we've just mentioned, translated here from Lord Chaitanya verse. Be prepared to give respect, but do not expect personal honor. That's a tricky point. I would like to discuss that a little bit more in depth in a minute. I also found this beautiful explanation from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And I'm quoting, he says, the transcendental conception of thinking, I'm dust at the lotus feet of my spiritual master, I am the servant of Guru and Krishna, is the meaning of the verse Trinadapi Sunichana. So that puts us in a quite humble position. So that was the first point. The second point is that we discussed it to some length already. From the verses of chapter 11, we can derive that we should offer respect to everybody. And there is also, this is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini sunichai vasva pakecha panditaha samadarshinaha. This is verse 5:18, the famous verse. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. There is actually, let me share one of my tricks. I meet lots of people with my workers. You know, some of you know I work in healthcare, and I meet lots of people, and not everybody I meet is pleasant and nice and sweet and so on. But I need to continue to maintain this, a professional standard, an equal approach. I need to be able to treat people equally. So one of my tricks is to find something good, something that I like. And there's always at least something, a little bit, that we like in people. So if you have a challenging meeting with somebody, try ever go. Wait. Don't hold on to your biases and preconceptions. Be open-minded. Seek proactively. Say, is there anything here that I can like about this person? Yeah. What is it I can find in them that can be inspiring? And is there any good, anything that Krishna might like and that I can appreciate? The third point I would like to make with you is that we need to have discrimination in our respect. We respect, and it's true, we respect some more than others. We've seen, and that's why I was trying to be so fastidious, even in the verses we mentioned earlier, yes, it's true, Krishna respects everyone. However, some of the people who went to welcome him were named individually. Why? Because they have a higher position. Because there is a stronger relationship with Krishna. And the way he greets these mothers is different to the way he greets others. Although there is respect for everyone. And I found here very useful information, which I think I could kind of, you know, some they're all backed up by scriptures, really. But the truth is that we can, I'm trying to offer you a little ladder of respect, you know. For instance, we give more respect to people of standing. Even in our society, we invite here politicians and we offer them respect and they come and they speak and they're welcomed by our managers, our highest representatives, by our sannyasis, by our managers. We offer respect, for instance, to the demigods to the same extent. They have very important administrative roles. We should respect our politicians as well. We might disagree with them, that's fine, but, you know, respect should be there. The police, your doctor, and so forth. We give more respect to educated people. Yeah, teachers, Gyani. This comes is scriptural. If you read the chapter 12 of the Bhagavad Gita, it's all there in the yoga ladder. Yeah, we look at people according to their qualities. We give more respect according to Varna. Brahmana kshatriya visham sudranam cha paramtapa karmani pravibhaktani svabhava prabhavair gunai. This is verse 1841 of the Gita. Brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaisyas, and sudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own nature in accordance with material modes. So we see different qualities in people, and that's what we respect. Why do we respect brahmanas? Why we put brahmanas at the top? We respect them because they are carrying sacred knowledge. They are the holder, the seeker of the knowledge. They dedicate lots of time in studying. And that, trust me, actually, let me pay homage again to my teachers, Paramakaruna and Navadvip Chandra. I have no idea how hard it is to prepare classes all year round for the courses like they do. is a massive work, totally unseen. And for 1 hour in the classroom, you might be spending 10 hours preparing, totally unseen. And you are the holder of this knowledge, ready to give, so willing as they are. And I know them for being so willing, so such a desire to share the knowledge they have accumulated. And only if there is respect, we can draw that knowledge out of them. And they would be so happy just to do that. Brahmana elevates society. We also respect them for their brahminical qualities, for their purity, their tolerance. Samo damasta pahaso cham kshantir arjavam eva cha gyanam vijnanam ashtikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. The qualities of the Brahmana. Why do we respect Kshatriyas? Different qualities, all very important. Their ability to lead, to protect, to guide, to administer. Physical strength sometimes might be also needed. Yeah. Vaisya, we respect them for their success to generate wealth for the society. That's important. They produce food. They protect the cow. Also they should. And Sudra, we also need to respect for their service, for the wisdom they accumulate, for the responsibility they take. We give more respect according to ashram. As you know, we give the higher respect to sannyas and the will. You know, this is quite straightforward. We give more respect to a grihastha than a brahmacharya. I think it's not totally unfair because they're older, generally speaking, if we consider a brahmacharya a young student, but also because they're taken on board an awful lot of family responsibility and maintaining a family and their devotional duties is an extremely difficult business. But ultimately, we give more respect according to devotion. And that is the topmost. Yoginam api sarvisham magatgatinam taratmana shradavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. And of all yogis, the one with great faith always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, renders transcendental loving service to me, is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and the highest of all, that is my opinion. So is Krishna telling us who is the dearmost to him. And we just follow that. We can also see in the Bhagavatam, we look at chapter 1, and we can see the examples. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Gaur Nithai ki. In the first canto, chapter 1, we see the sages in Naimisharani gathering and offering is called a seat of esteem to Srila Sutta Goswami. They welcome him with respectful words and offer him a seat in order for him to address them. And what to say when Sukadev Goswami arrives at the scene of the Bhagavatam? Just a few verses further down. Is completely, his appearance, completely disinterested and satisfied with himself. He did not manifest any symptoms of belonging to any social order or status of life. He was surrounded by women and children, just teasing him, as if he could care. And the words of this Bhagavatam are great here. He was dressed as if others had neglected him. That's quite sweet. And Maharaj Parikshit bowed his head to receive the chief guest, Sukadeva Goswami. So this is how we we recognize is devotion is the top, the topmost parameter for us to give respect. And he takes his exalted seat and he starts speaking the Bhagavatam. So, summarizing just briefly, we have discussed the culture of respect, maryada. We said that we give respect to all human beings, then more respect to people of standing, more respect to people with education, good qualities, more respect according to varna and ashram, more respect according to devotion, and ultimately to the highest devotion. The way respect goes in our society is different and a bit painful. I think it can be described by body identification, artha, karma. Artha, look at actors, for instance, extremely well paid just for their appearance. Yeah, life is a catwalk. The devil wears Prada. And they're very charming, very elegant. Some of them also well-spoken. And there is a new generation, which is at the time of my generation did not exist, a new type of celebrities, the internet celebrities. And they make an awful lot of money just posting clips of their life online. Obviously the most glamorous one. And I remember actually reading a story, a true story, of somebody who was doing that, but actually her life was a complete mess and ended up with serious, I don't know if it was mental health problem or suicide or something. So there is always a facade that we project to others to make it all nice and glamorous. And it's creating such an impact on the children, because we're all pursuing this image, sometimes impossible to achieve, because not all our bodies are beautiful. We're not all rich and famous. And so these are models which are totally out of range for some, and so inappropriate. We give respect according to artha, wealth. In the West, we elect viziers to the highest duties. I remember there was, in Italy, you probably remember, Prabhu, there was a quite successful politician, business, very, very successful businessman, became prime minister. And it's perhaps similarly to the American president at the moment. And I'm not making comments on their abilities as politicians. You know, that's not my place at all. I'm just saying that people admire, respect their capacity to generate welfare. Not necessarily a wrong thing, but we have a different discrimination. And we've just discussed, you know, we want to discriminate in a different way, according to Shastra. And in this, you know, in Western society, actually, respect is just very often motivated by greed, by selfishness, you know, by respecting, you know, if you are prime minister and, you know, you're in a position of power, everyone would like to speak to you. Everyone would like to go and come and shake your hand. Because when you are in a position of power, you can grant favors, money, and so forth. And so by connecting us to these people, you know, obviously we give respect, but when it's all false, it's all motivated by interest, by greed. And to finish, actually, so because it's coming that time, I would like to offer you another final reflection. It's a point which is quite dear to me, because I can see in this a potential pitfall for devotees, certainly for myself. And I would like to offer you the reflection in this way. So usually we don't go around offending others, just like that. We don't go around and say, oh, Maharaj, actually, I don't think you are as advanced as you think you are. Or Prabhu, I don't think you are as advanced as you think you are. Just like that. But if we feel offended, that's different. Then we open up for business. Why? because there might be an emotional, there is certainly an emotional trigger. We start reacting. When we react, we lose our intelligence. And we feel a great sense of empowerment because we think we have the moral ground. Somebody has offended us. So we've just learned about Daksha in the fourth canto, beginning of the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And really the way, you know, Daksha is immediately presented by Srila Prabhupada as a great offender. You know, really the lowest of mankind. And so we know that to be true, that's fine. That's not the point. But what he does, he doesn't go around offending people. He walks into the arena of sacrifice. And whilst he was the chief of the Prajapati, so in a position, a great position of standing, and he was very educated, and he was very prominent, everybody stands up when he arrives, but Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Now, the problem is that Daksha was seeing Lord Shiva as his son-in-law. Now, anyone with Indian background here who has a son-in-law, would you like to tell us if you would expect to be respected by your son-in-law? Yeah, I think it's natural. I'm not sure in the West we don't respect anyone anyway, so. But, you know, it would be natural, it would be expected. It's my son-in-law, so, hey, where is your respect? And so you immediately jump to the conclusion that you have the moral ground. Perfectly justifiable. Daksha actually doesn't makes an enormous mistake of discrimination. But on the moral perspective, he's all right. And that's what we do. I would like to invite, you know, think of, you know, this is something you're really trying to focus on. Try not to lose perspective. We are not looking to gain the moral ground. That's business for the politicians. That's what our politicians do. They're always trying to get hold of the moral ground. Ah, it's me protecting the babies. Ah, it's me putting police. It's me putting nurses in the field. We are protecting the weak. We are seeking equality. We're seeking equality for everyone. Equality. Everybody's equal. Equals, even sexes would be soon equal. I shared a laugh with my, in the classroom once. I said, even at my workplace, we have a neutral gender toilet. Which I love to use. It's very clean, actually. And because I don't, you know, sometimes I don't feel necessarily so identified in virtue of our knowledge with my body, and so I'm quite happy to go and use the toilet. And so this is my what I would like to remember for myself, to be extremely careful. When I feel offended, the feeling might be there, but I need to think twice before reacting. Because I might be thinking I'm right, I might be thinking I have the moral ground, I might be thinking all sorts of things. But the truth sometimes is a bit like the Russian dolls. There's always a deeper one. And only Krishna is the ultimate truth. Only knows really exactly what's happening. So let's just be careful with that. I've seen it a lot in devotees as well. Really taking offense very, very easily. And not jumping, coming out of it very easily. And not be quite ready to forgive. And that's really a challenging one. So, concluding. We have discussed the cultural differences between the Vedic society and ours. Focusing on particularly on the aspect of respect. We have discussed three principles which we can apply in our practice to purify our chanting, to be humble, because that breeds respect and love. We need to respect everyone, but we need to respect others more with great discrimination. And if you are in doubt, refer to the scripture, refer to your teachers, refer to your guru. And we have discussed, we had this final reflection about being extremely careful when we feel offended. Try not to react. Settle the emotion. I'm talking about myself. Take a deep breath. Thank you so much for your attention. It's very kind of you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.